Our family pastor is back with us. She didn't have much time last week. You know, we don't have to end right at 10:30. I mean, but will you give a big hand to Annie Lahan as she comes to share this morning?
Oh my goodness. You guys are going to make me blush. Okay, that's good stuff. All right. Let's go ahead. Can you guys raise your hands if you weren't here last week? If you were not here last week? Okay, all right. I'm going to go ahead and start from, not from the very beginning. Hope, Holy Spirit, you can have your way. Let's pray. Father, I just ask that you would lead and guide this time together. Lord, that your words would come through the things that are important to you. Father, that you would have your way in this body. Lord, not as a church program, not as a church building, but as these families that you want to make well. God, that you would use my mouth as your mouth, Lord, and that nothing that I say is of myself, but it would all be yours for your glory. God, I give you this time and I ask that you'd have your way with us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Okay, so last week, for those of you who were here, I got on a tangent about Nehemiah, but I don't feel that pressing today. So I am Annie Lahan. My husband and I, Matthew, will you wave your hand? He's the handsome one on the front row. We've been married for 9 years. And this is a scripture that the Lord had given me for confirmation to marry this handsome man. And it has since changed to a scripture not only about my covenant with him, but my covenant with the body of Christ, because we're fooling ourselves if we think we can do this alone. So it says, I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. And this is like that scripture was a driving force for a lot of intercession for me up until some things have shifted with discipleship. So this is just a quick introduction to my relationship with the church. I've gone to Grace Church since I was 9 years old. We moved here in 1999 and we were in the other building, and I've grown up at Grace. But this is whenever I had come back to Jesus, and my husband and I both came back to Jesus at the same time. We got baptized, and that's how lovely we all looked in like 2011, and Steve's hair was really dark. And then this is how we started to get involved in Kids of Grace ministry. We were invited by Andrea Eden, which is Steve's sister-in-law, to be Adam and Eve so that the children could interview us and ask us questions. It's very open-ended. The things they asked us, it was like, oh dear, we'll have to get back to you on that. But that's how we started getting involved in Kids of Grace. So I am not going to talk in depth about discipleship. If you were not here last week, please go online and watch this. I really feel strongly like the Lord wants me to get into the content of this scripture. So this is the disciple-making content for today. If you go back and you watch it, it's really foundational for everything that I'm going to share today. So if you would make the time, that would be great. I do want to share with you this letter, though, because this is whenever my relationship with Jesus started to shift. And it wasn't just about me. It was about the body of Christ and seeing families made well. Whenever we were looking at the Great Commission and discipleship, we have something called Eat the Word. Is anybody familiar with that language? Okay. So eat the word is just when you look at scripture and then you look at the original language that those words mean. Okay. And we're going to do some of that today. But whenever you look at those original words, sometimes you discover that these words don't mean what you think they mean. They actually mean something different. And it's kind of like a treasure hunt. But we do this thing called a Jesus letter. And we write out what the Father is speaking to our heart whenever we are looking into that scripture and seeing what the actual content of it means. And this is what I wrote in 2017. It says, Annie, I see so many children in cribs that have trained themselves not to cry anymore because their needs for family have not been met. They self-soothe their hunger pangs, and they have been baptized in the name of the church, but not in the character and adoption of Christ. They haven't been cared for. They have been neglected. They long for mothers and fathers. Our hearts need awakened to motherhood and fatherhood, the joy of the expanding family, the time and the resources we will invest. This is the kingdom. I feel alive and awakened with purpose. I feel the enemy losing ground. You are now awakened to personal responsibility. This is eternity. We have the joy of partnership and empowerment. Love, Jesus. And I had shared this last week, but I want to make sure to drive this home. I had a vision of an orphanage, and I don't know if you're familiar with this, but whenever you have an orphanage and you have a bunch of infants inside of cribs, they train themselves not to cry whenever they are hungry or whenever they need changed. And so instead of there being enough people to go and take care of them, they lay in their mess, they lay there hungry until the person who is there has the time to get around to every child. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with this scripture, but where Jesus says the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. How many children are we surrounded by, like infants in their faith, or people who were saved 20 years ago who are still infants in their faith because no one has come alongside of them to teach them how to walk and hold their hands? We don't get mad at an infant when they fall. We are like, you can do this. We've got this. I have you. And spiritual mothering and fathering isn't control. It's not forming someone in our image. It's connecting the body of Christ to their Father. Because we don't need a teacher. We need the Holy Spirit. And we need to have confidence that we can hear Him. Right? Like, once we get connected to Him and we know how to confirm things in His Word, we are unstoppable. I've watched it. Myra, will you wave your hand? This is one of the girls who's in my discipleship group. I'm going to go back a slide so you can see her baptism. I have watched, like, the Lord transform her. And not because she's being formed into Annie's image. We have totally different calls. But she has learned to hear the voice of the Lord and obey Him. And on a regular basis, I just listen to her and my jaw drops. Because the things that she sees and the things that she knows, it's like, God is real. God is real. Because sometimes if you're someone who grew up in the church, do you ever wonder, like, am I hearing Him or is this because I was told this? Do you ever have to check that? Like, when it comes flowing out of her and I know she's not indoctrinated, it is like, this is the Lord. This is amazing. But we have the privilege of partnership to be able to be spiritual mothers and fathers, connecting those in the body of Christ to their dad, so that they can have confidence in obeying Him. Okay? So, who is a disciple? A disciple is someone who abides, which creates a deep desire and a delight in walking in His ways. His character, and we're bearing fruit, which creates the byproduct of doing His works. In the Western church, we've kind of flipped this upside down. We do His works, and we hope they bear fruit. And then if we have time, we might abide. Fair? And that's been my Christian walk up until about 2 or 3 years ago, whenever I started to realize I don't abide. And then I was just upset because I didn't know how to do it. And then about a year ago, I was like, oh my gosh, I don't bear fruit. And my poor husband, and what am I even doing? And if you go back and listen to last week, you can hear me confess all that. But discipleship is imperative. Okay? And the exciting news is that disciples don't have age limits. The scripture actually tells us the complete opposite. Like, we don't start discipleship when they are 16 or we think that they can understand and agree with our words. That's not when discipleship starts. So let's look at Luke 18:16-17. This is the scripture that the Lord gave me that has led to all of this unfolding. It says, but Jesus called the little children to Him and said to His disciples, let the little children come to Me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Surely I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter into it. You notice, I just noticed this. It does not say the church. It says the kingdom. It's the kingdom. They are the kingdom. We'll see that here in a second. Children. Okay, so this is some of what we talked about eat the word, right? Like looking at what the actual word itself means in the original language. And this is from the New Testament, so we're looking at the Greek. The word children, I'm not going to try to pronounce that, is a son or a daughter, a young child, an infant, little ones, ages 0 to 20, or a child in training, or an immature Christian. So I don't want to miss this. 0 to 20 and immature Christians. What is the measuring stick of maturity? Does anybody have any idea? Christ? Who in this room is perfected completely, manifesting Christ all the time? I mean, like, we are all immature in some area or another. Like, some of us may be mature in one area, but we're growing, right? Like, we're all growing. So let's look at this. If Jesus is saying to his disciples, let the little children, let the immature Christians, let 0 to 20 come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to immature Christians. Not the 20-year church member, to little children, to 0 to 20 and immature Christians. What are we building? What are we after? Are we after building the church? Are we after building the kingdom? So what needs to be our priority? Who? 0 to 20 and immature Christians. Where do we spend our time? What are we doing? What are we laying our life down for, guys? This interrupted me. This interrupted my life. Because if Jesus is saying, this is my priority, and I'm saying, you're my priority, Lord, and you're the Lord of my life, like, how can I ignore this? So where it says, let them come to me, it almost implies, like, we somehow might not be letting them, right? Because we're his disciples. Is that fair? Are we disciples? Okay, so this is to us. Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. What does it mean for them to come to him? This, I get really, really fired up about this. Oh no. Oh darn. Gavin, please come help me. Okay, thank you. So to come means to be established. I'm going to get really excited. I'm going to calm down. To be established, thank you, I'm sorry. To become known, to come into being, to arise, come forth, show themselves, find their place, and have influence. Who do we give influence to in the church? People we think have, like, the right thing to say, right? Like, we give them a platform, we give them influence, but what if the Father is actually saying, they're going to get to know me, and you're going to get to know me as well, as you allow them to find their place? It's not that we throw people in authority that are immature, but we bring them alongside of us, we hold their hands, and they walk with us. It's not, just watch me, I'm so good at this, maybe one day you'll measure up. No, like 0 to 20 and immature Christians find their place, they're to arise, come forth, show themselves. Like, how do we help them find their place if we don't give them opportunity? Right? So what does it look like? It's going to cost us something, isn't it? It's messy. Who's a parent in here? It is messy when you start to teach your child how to do chores, right? If you're like, you're going to learn how to wash dishes, you're like, oh my gosh, this is so difficult because you're making such a mess. But it is love to teach them how to wash dishes. It might cost us something. In my Jesus letter where it said, like, we will invest. Like, it will cost us something, but it matters to him. Okay, let's move on. So I wanted to show you guys this picture. This is when I got baptized initially. Whenever I was 7 years old, I went to a church in Ohio, and they were excellent at this. They were excellent at helping children find their place. And I remember just knowing, like, I had a place inside of the kingdom, because even if I was just handing a Coke to another kid in downtown Cincinnati, like, I got to tell them, I'm here to show you God's love in a practical way. And I remember feeling like I mattered to God. And I remember feeling like what I do directly gives somebody else access to him. I was not a biblical scholar, but I was his kid, right? Like, and if we are after building the kingdom, which is people, not programs, how do we involve them? This doesn't start at the church on a Sunday. I'm all about building our children's ministry and our student ministry to create opportunities. But this is a mindset shift, guys. Like, we have to change the way we see each other, because immature Christians are messy too, and they're grown-ups. Sometimes, you know, I mean, like, sometimes we get saved when we're little, but sometimes it's messy. But if we who are mature, like, don't want to engage with them, how will they grow? How do we help them become established and find their place? So one of the other things that the scripture says is that we're not to hinder them. What does it mean to hinder them? Because I'm sure a lot of us don't think we're hindering anybody, right? Like, you don't wake up and think, I'm just going to keep those Christians from doing anything that matters, right? Or even ourselves, because honestly, we could be hindering ourselves. To hinder means to forbid, stand in the way, restrain, refuse, withhold, cut off, or cut short. The word that really stood out to me was cut short. Whenever we don't allow access because it's inconvenient, we're cutting them short. So we don't think of ourselves as putting a blockade between these 0 to 20-year-olds or these immature Christians. We don't think of ourselves as like stepping out to stop something. It's not like we're protesting. But sometimes we're not willing to give up our convenience or our comfortability because we're just cutting them short. We don't realize it. Like, it's passive. It's a passive hindrance, right? But we all can be guilty of this. It's inconvenient. It's inconvenient to teach a new young musician something. Like, who loves to worship the Lord in their home? Like, these younger kids that are learning how to play, like, how do you scoop them up and be like, this is how you flow with the Holy Spirit? Like, it's easy to pray by yourself, and we're called to do that. But how do we recognize, like, we talked about Hannah, like, oh my goodness, the Lord is moving in this one. I want to pull you into my life, not just my church program, but my life. Like, I want to lay my life down and invite you in because this is something the Lord has established in me. I do not want to hinder you. I want to give to you what he's freely given to me because it was free for us, right? Like, how do we give them space to learn who they are in Christ? Because this is a tragedy. Our young people are finding value in the world. Their talents and their skills, their bodies, their voices have a place. They are not being hindered in the world. We can't get angry at them and say, behave well. Make me feel comfortable. We can't. They're children. They're hungry for acceptance. They're hungry for discipleship. They're hungry to learn their value. And what the world is telling them is every emotion you have gives you value. Every emotion you have makes you a slave. Freedom is not the ability to do anything I want. Freedom is the ability to tell myself what I'm going to do instead of being a slave to compulsion. Freedom only comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. I remember being a teenager and walking away from the Lord because I did not understand how God required me not to have sex. I didn't understand. And I knew about purity, and the word purity made me literally cringe because it just made me feel shame. But it wasn't until I was exposed to the truth that He is pure. And when I am in His presence, I am made pure. That I, as His daughter, have the power to say no to things that want to feed me. It's like fast food. There's fast food all around us. And we, like, adults are in the same train. Like, it's not just young people. Like, we as adults, we're faced with choices all the time. But if we're used to fast food and compulsion and impulse and convenience, we won't choose the things that He prioritizes. We won't lay our life down. Is it fair to say that many of us in the body of Christ are not doing this because we ourselves don't know how? We may get married and then all of a sudden premarital sex isn't a problem anymore because you're married. Like, sin is easier to manage because you're in a box where it's not a temptation the same way. But then different things happen. Pride shows up, but we don't know how to necessarily identify it because our culture celebrates it. Like, sin is more obvious when you're little. When you're bigger, it's not as obvious. And it's almost more scary because it's not obvious. How do we lay down our lives and not cut them short if we ourselves are not first abiding and knowing the love of God? Guys, I did this Christian thing and I was doing all the right things, but I wasn't letting Him love me. And so the lack of fruit in my life, the lack of patience and kindness and endurance and a willingness to repent was not in me. I was saved, but He was not Lord. And we cannot give lordship to our children if it is not here. Amen. And it's uncomfortable when you've been a Christian since I was raised in the church. It is uncomfortable to be confronted with the fact that everything you've given your life to that you thought was lordship was not. It is very uncomfortable. It was almost enough to break me. When I turned 30 in May, the Lord showed me, like, all of this bitterness and all this stuff that was hiding in my heart. And it was like, I can't give anything away to anybody else that is everlasting unless if He becomes Lord. Not just my Savior who makes eternity available, but the Lord of my life. I mean, Jesus gave everything to reconnect us to freedom, not control. He's not trying to ruin your life with being different. He is showing us the way we were made to live so that we may have joy and joy abundantly. Joy is the awareness of God's grace. It's not just an emotion where we're happy in denial. It is an awareness of His grace. Because we all mess up. We're all still His kids. And we have to remember that so that we can value His kids. I'm on a tangent. I'm so sorry. I'm not sorry. Sorry, not sorry. I take it back. Okay, so let's look at what it means for the kingdom of God to belong to these. I do want to read this. But Jesus called the little children, 0 to 20 in training, immature Christians, to Him and said to His disciples, let the little children be established, become known, arise, come into their being, find their place of influence, and do not stand in the way. Do not withhold from them. Do not cut them short. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Let's look at what the kingdom is. Because it's not a church program. The kingdom of God is kingship, sovereignty, royal power, especially of God. When's the last time you looked at your 2-year-old and said, the kingdom of God is in this kid? Like, royal power, especially of God, both in the world and in the hearts of men, the rule of Christ in believers' hearts, it is in them. They just don't know it. And I think a lot of us didn't know it either. I love this word too. The word belongs, so the kingdom belongs. It means I am to exist, to be, convey straightforward existence without explicit limits. Cole Brown, the kingdom of God, the sovereign rule of Jesus Christ is inside of you without explicit limits. I believed I had to manage my flesh. Tell myself the identity thing, like I am a chosen child of God. I was made by God and for God. Me saying it is not the same as me experiencing it with him. It is him inside of me that has changed me and conformed me and shown me. It hurts to admit that I am wrong, but I will not be crushed because I cannot be crushed. I cannot be crushed by impurity because the one who is pure has chosen me. They cannot be crushed by their flesh because the Lord has said something different. He has a better story to tell. He has a better story to tell about immature Christians. So when you're walking alongside of somebody who just got saved and you're looking at their flesh patterns and their habits, it may make you feel very uncomfortable. But the blessed great news is the fact that we do not have to conform them into our image or our behavior. The Lord said something spectacular to me when I started walking with these amazing women in discipleship. They need the exact same thing you did, Annie. Learn how to abide. It is his love and his kindness that leads us to repentance. Amen. And he is faithful. It is our job to show them he is kind. It is our job not to make them behave, but give them a safe place to fall. And say, I will hold your hands because I'm not getting my value from your behavior. Is that fair? I will hold your hands. I will teach you that you don't have to wear a diaper and sit in your mess all day. We were not made for bitterness. We were not made for depression. We were not made for these things. And the word of God gives us access to authority to say these things will not rule my life because there is one who is greater. But if we do not know him and we have not known him in that way, we will not give it away. It's fair. If you don't have it to give, you don't give it. Like all of it is inside of us. Yes, our spirit is completely and totally pure. But our soul is being saved. And if we don't acknowledge our need of him, we will never access him. And we won't be able to give him away. And the body of Christ will continue to not have integrity with the world. Because it's not how you behave on a Sunday morning or inside of your programs or inside of our clubs. It's not that that's going to change the world. It's in your jobs. It's in your homes. Do you love and honor and forgive your spouse? Or your parents. If we look only at what we believe someone owes us, or we justify what we will give away according to worldly mindsets, people will only be introduced to a Christian with a worldly mindset. Jesus said 70 times seven. Church, we have to know Christ because it will interrupt these things that we've conformed him into our image. We've made him look like us. And then we declare his name and we wonder why they hate him. I mean, there are things that he says that are offensive. But please let them be offended because of who he actually is. You know? Like, let's be offended by the actual gospel. Okay. All right. I'm almost done. But Jesus called the little children, 0 to 20 in training, immature Christians to him and said to his disciples, let the children be established to become known, arise, come into their being, find their place of influence, and do not stand in the way, withhold or cut them short. For the sovereignty of God, who wants to see the sovereignty of God in America, in your home? Yeah. Okay. The sovereignty of God, his rule in the hearts of man, is without explicit limits, found inside such as these. Surely I, Jesus, say to you, my disciples at Grace Church, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will no, by no means enter into it. Until we learn who they are, we can't learn who we are. Until we recognize them and their value to him, we can't even do it. Isn't that crazy? Isn't it amazing? Like, I've heard so many people, and I used to feel this way because I was bitter at the church. I used to feel like I could do this Jesus thing without y'all. But it's not about my behavior. It is about his sovereign rule inside of my heart. And his sovereign rule doesn't leave me by myself because I'm laying my life down for his children. Isn't that crazy? Like, it's not enough that we know him or know about him or that we behave well or we do Christian things on a Sunday or a Wednesday or whatever day is declared, you know, the church's day. This is about our lives. And a byproduct, I mean, the church gathers in scripture. You see it happen. We gather, and we're not to stop gathering because we are edified here. But what if we came in here with all of the kids we're walking with? Guys, I do not want to have people inside of children's ministry that are doing their duty. Right. We need people. But I don't want you to come and resent them. The kingdom of God is inside of them, and it is our job to teach them that it's there. For them to walk in all authority and sovereignty. I have seen little children that are more filled with the Holy Spirit than adults. We worked in children's ministry for, I don't even know. Matthew and I used to do Earth Shakers. That's our kindergarten through fifth grade. Every single Sunday in second service, I think for like 4 years, maybe a little bit longer. But the Lord laid it on our hearts that these kids, their problems are just as real as adults. They are so much more aware than we give them credit for. And we would do ministry time, right? And they could come and receive prayer. But my biggest heartbeat for them was like, you don't have to wait to talk to Miss Annie to talk to Jesus. Like, you can hear him. And your little tongue is not just for tasting or sticking out at your brother, but all authority in heaven and earth is in the power of your tongue. And it can speak life or it can speak death. The secrets of heaven belong to them. It was years ago, I had a vision of one of the kiddos that was in our class, and there was like this fire hydrant in his stomach. And have you ever seen a fire hydrant whenever they're like draining it or whatever, and it's like spraying? And he said, the Holy Spirit is inside of them like this. They don't know. It's not to go through just worship songs or go through a lesson. Guys, we have the privilege and the honor of introducing these innocent ones to the kingdom of God that's inside of them. And then I'm telling you, you are more edified whenever you recognize it even than they are. Because they interrupt us, like their innocence. I remember one time Matthew was helping this kid carry something from a garage sale. He had bought like a table or something. And he was really struggling carrying this to his car for his mom. And he was probably like 5. And Matthew took all of the weight of the table, but he had the kid still hold it. Because the kid didn't need him to just do it for him. He gave him place. He gave him a place. Now, the kid was not carrying the weight. But he learned, I have a place to help carry this thing for my mom. And there are people around me who are going to come alongside of me and take the burden. Like, we bear each other's burdens. That's just a practical way. Like, the kingdom of God is super practical. And what I want to see happen is for each of you to sit with the Lord. I don't want you to hear where we have needs at Grace Church and for you to be like, oh man, they really, really need kids. They really need people in this area, or they really need people in this area. Father knows. Father knows. And more than I want to build a program, like I said, I want to see your homes well. Like, Lord, what is my obedience in my own home? Like, how am I not laying my life down? How am I not coming to you? Let's start there. Like, am I abiding? And we know because of the fruit of our lives, right? Like, he showed me I abided a lot in Instagram. And then it makes you insecure because you see all the things, right? And it wasn't until I saw the fruit of my life that I was like, oh, I'm not abiding. And it's not like we do that once on Easter and then like we have all this fruit to distribute. Like, we abide daily. He's our daily bread. It means moment by moment. And it's not just sitting with the word, like, it's actually being his friend. So what I want to do is I want to take some time. Gavin, if you and the band would come, we're going to just play some soft music. There are index cards in the pew in front of you if you don't have a notebook. Writing makes it real. There are three different kinds of hearing. There's hearing that you just hear and it goes in one ear and out the other. There's hearing that stirs us, might make us emotional, right? And then there is another hearing, and that is the hearing that activates us, that interrupts our lives and changes something about our action. Not just our amen the truth, like, yes, somebody really needs to lay their life down for those kids and those immature Christians, right? And I'm asking the Father for an interruption for all of us. I didn't plan on working full-time at a church, but the Father gave me his heart. And he's given me the ability to speak it. It's not something for a church staff to do. We're here to partner with you in your practical life and on Sunday mornings and on Wednesdays with students. What is he asking you to do? It might be small. It might be big. I encourage you, life is found in our obedience. Like, he high-fives it with his grace and his provision. So let's just sit with the Lord. What is he asking you to do? And what are you going to do about it? I want to invite you guys. We're going to have a meet and greet today. Myself and some of our Kids of Grace and Students of Grace team is going to be in the fellowship hall. If any of your obedience was partnering with Grace Church, I'd love to talk to you. The team would love to talk to you. We're all God's kids, and he is gracious. I want to read this word really quick. Before we release, this was my sister Myra, who I'm walking with in discipleship, got this word yesterday at Prayer Shield. We were approaching a mountain and we were all different ages. As we got closer to the mountain, we all became children. We were not adults anymore. We walk into this thing that looks like a cocoon, and when we came out, we were like beautiful butterflies. We were beautiful, righteous, and bright with grace. The Father is waiting for us to walk towards Him and walk into that cocoon. We become children before we enter our transformation. He transforms our hearts, our bodies, our minds. We just have to come to Him. If we allow Him, He can transform us. We just gotta let Him into our hearts and into our lives. Transform was the word that kept coming to mind in 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into His image with every increasing glory which comes from the Lord who is in the Spirit. And 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone and the new is here. Thank you guys for your time. Pastor Steve, if you would come and close us out. If you guys have any questions about our message today, you can text them to this number, and Pastor and I are going to be doing another live stream on Facebook and on our website.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.